May I speak in the name of God, the love of the beloved and the love sharer. Amen. We stand in the shadow of the cross, wriggling. There are three phrases that are woven into my reflections this morning. And I want you to remember these three phrases because you can be listening for them as they arise in the context of my words. The first is, of course, we stand in the shadow of the cross, wriggling. The second is the revealing of that which is hidden in plain sight. And the third is clothed in our right or wrong minds. We arrive at this last Sunday after the Epiphany. And Epiphany is a season which is a series of showings, of revealings, each one stripping away the filters that prevent us from seeing that which is hidden in plain sight. Namely, who Jesus really is. But more significantly, and I want you to hold on to this thought, the series of revealings not only strips out the filters from seeing who Jesus is standing in plain sight, but also strips away the filters that hide from us an image of ourselves as we really are and not just as we want to think of ourselves being. And there's a cumulative effect, a kind of building up layer by layer of these series of showings, beginning with the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus. Now, of course, Mark does not record this story, but he picks up this Epiphany showing theme with the baptism of Jesus. And in the course of his first chapter, he focuses on the revealings of Jesus' true identity through his encounter with evil. And perhaps you might like to go back to the sermons for the last two Sundays. 2 weeks ago, I drew attention to the way Jesus confronts the demonic, not by destroying it, but by disembodying it. In effect, rendering it homeless. Because you see, evil manifests in human bodies, in human hearts, in individual lives, and by extension, collectively in human society. And last week, Linda reminded us that the vocation of the people of God as healers of the world requires that we not turn away from evil that manifests itself in humanity's brokenness and suffering. Seeing it, we must name it and defeat it every time and in whatever form it takes. And we name evil and defeat evil, rendering it homeless through truth-telling, justice-making, and the spiritual restoration that disembodies evil, one truth, one heart, and one act of compassion at a time. And so we leave the season of the Epiphany with the story of the Transfiguration, the final filter stripping away the revealing of that which is hidden in plain sight, Remember that what is hidden in plain sight is not only who Jesus is, but also who we really are. And from here we journey down the mountain of transfiguration to begin the slow Lenten journey of discipline and discipleship. And when the filters fall from our eyes, we come to see that what is hidden in plain sight, it is none other than ourselves standing in the shadow of the cross, wriggling. Now, of the evangelists, it's Mark who most graphically depicts the journey that Jesus begins after coming down from the mountain of the Transfiguration. And this is a journey that will lead him to his ultimate destination, to Jerusalem and to the reality of the cross. And Mark tells us that Jesus called the crowd when with his disciples he said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Now who in their right mind would want to follow Jesus along this road? Actually, if we were in our right minds, this is exactly what we would do. The problem is that we hear this invitation clothed in our wrong minds, minds shrouded by the preoccupations of our own self-interests. And the disciples heard Jesus' invitation clothed in their wrong minds, which caused them to play dumb, to resist through continually misunderstanding Jesus, and to accept his invitation, finally, thinking that they could dictate the terms and set the direction of travel. And Mark continually slams the disciples for their willful resistance to the reality of Jesus' invitation to follow him. And Mark offers us four clear instances of the disciples' resistance to the true nature of Jesus' call to discipleship. A call that from the very outset of the journey, from this mountain of transfiguration, marks the road to Jerusalem. You'll remember that Peter refuses to accept Jesus' political fate. You'll also remember that Peter misinterprets the transfiguration experience, wanting to build booths on the mountain to grab and to hold on to the experience. And you will remember that the disciples discuss who will be the greatest among them. It doesn't take them very long. And James and John try to secure the highest rank. And in these refusals, do we not hear the echo of our own self-protections and preoccupations? Like the disciples, we also think we can follow Jesus by resetting the directions of his roadmap and dictating the terms of travel. Like the disciples, we stand clothed in our wrong mind. And when that which is hidden in plain sight is revealed, we find ourselves standing in the shadow of the cross, wriggling. Now I want you to think back to how you looked at the world this time last year. And now ask yourself, how are you now different? And what has made the difference? Over this past year, we have been buffeted by a prolonged experience of epiphany that has stripped the filters from our eyes, filters of willful and self-protective blindness. And even though the temptation is to think we can accept Jesus' invitation to follow him on the road to the cross in the mistaken belief that we can somehow dictate the terms, do we have a choice? As Christians in some shape or form, we're on the road with Jesus whether we like it or not. And the question becomes, what kind of experience will we allow this to become? This Lent, the extended pandemic has given us the gift of time. Time to be more reflective, time to cultivate a deeper awareness and practice of being in God's presence, or to put it another way, letting God be more present in our lives. In 2021, we enter Lent with the advantage that we have had a year of buffeting that has worn away our glossy illusions about ourselves and the world we have created. Lent is a time of discipline. And discipline does not mean punishment. Discipline describes the practices of disciple making. And whatever we decide to do this Lent by way of a different spiritual practice, the key is to strip away the filters that prevent us from seeing ourselves revealed as we are in plain sight. Making the disciplines of our Anglican spiritual tradition part of our daily and weekly experience. And these are namely prayer, making space in our day for God; study, deepening our understanding of God's call to be agents for the healing of a broken world through one truth-telling, one heart-turning, one act of compassion at a time. Repentance, making room for sorrow through self-examination. Voicing a lament for the painful journey of loss and suffering we see all around us. Self-denial as the practice of listening to and privileging others first. And finally, worship. Journeying to God not alone, but in the company of others. Who in their right mind would want to follow Jesus along this discipleship road? Actually, if when it becomes to be clothed in our right minds, this is exactly what we long to do. There is no shame in acknowledging discomfort, to acknowledge our wriggling. Our shame is when we hide our doubts and discomfort from ourselves and from God. So this Lent, let's learn to see ourselves standing in the shadow of the cross, wriggling. At least that's a beginning. Amen.